Isaiah says, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above it stood seraphim. Each one had six wings. With two he covered his face. With two he covered his feet. And with two he flew. And one cried to another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts, and the whole earth is full of his glory. And the posts of the door were shaken by the voice of him who cried out, and the house was filled with smoke. So I said, Isaiah says, I'm done for. This is my last day. And yet this morning we sit here before God Himself. And you are bringing an act of worship to Him. So I'm going to ask that whatever you might be thinking, whatever stressful situation, whatever problem that the devil might be trying to put in our head this morning, let's set all that aside. We're here to worship God. And I'm going to ask you something. This happens all the time. Whenever we start getting ready for a major evangelistic series, the devil is at work. We're going to have vacation Bible school. The devil is at work. Have you felt discouraged? Don't raise your hand. You know. We're planning evangelistic series in the fall. I'll share with you one of these days what I've been going through as far as preparation for that is concerned. The devil is at work. So this morning I'm going to ask you something. I'm going to ask that you pray for your pastor just right now, this moment. I'm going to give you just maybe 15, 20 seconds because I need... Today, right now, I need clarity of mind. And I'm going to ask you to pray for me. When I say amen, we'll continue. So would you pray for me? Let's pray. Father, this morning, what I bring to your people, I pray that it may honor and glorify your name. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. 2 weeks ago, we started a part one, Resurrection Power, and I did accomplish one of the goals that I wanted to accomplish. Because on the way out, there were a few of you that said, that was interesting. And I said, yes, because you probably came in, you sat down and said, Resurrection Sabbath, I know what he's going to talk about. The resurrection of Jesus Christ. But I didn't talk about the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That was the main, yes, of all the resurrections is the most important one. But there is a resurrection that needs to take on a daily basis because every day we need to be dying to self. And we talked about the resurrections. If you remember the widow and the son, Elijah, had that miracle. Then the Shunammite's son, where Elisha went and resurrected that boy. And then there's that man that was placed on the bones of Elisha, and he resurrected. There's the resurrection of Lazarus. There's the resurrection of Jesus Christ. There's that resurrection, that special resurrection, if you want to call it, when Jesus Christ died. The Bible says that some resurrected. And then there's the resurrection at the second coming of Jesus Christ. And then there's the second resurrection after the 1,000 years. There's a second resurrection that takes place there. We also talk about Eutychus and Tabitha. They were all resurrected. They all had a miracle in their life. And then we continued reading some of the texts. And if you have your Bibles, I'd invite you to open your Bibles to John, Luke chapter 9, verse 23. Luke 9:23. We share this text. I still hear pages, which is a good thing. Looking it up in the Bible and the Word of God. Then he said to them all, Jesus speaking, if anyone desires to come after me, here's the prerequisite. Let him deny what? Himself. And take up his cross daily and follow me. Why deny yourself before you're able to take up the cross? Because, see, self is self. And if it was up to us, we wouldn't take up that cross. And the prerequisite to taking up the cross on a daily basis is that we need to let go of self. And self is something that's alive and well in our life. And then we concluded this. Self must be put away. Self must die. And when self dies, resurrection power takes place. Because we also concluded that the only ones that could receive resurrection power are the ones that are dead. You can't receive resurrection power if you're alive. Could you be resurrected if you're alive? No. You got to die to be resurrected. And so, self must die within us on a daily basis, and you will receive the resurrection power. Dallas Willard wrote this, being dead to self is when I'm not surprised or controlled or offended when things don't go my way. Have you ever been there? Things don't go your way, and so you think, they didn't go my way. It's interesting that prayers are always answered when they go my way. Amen, hallelujah, brother. My prayer was answered. Why? Because it went my way. But when that prayer didn't go my way, how do we feel? What do we think? So, being dead to self is when I am not surprised or controlled or offended when things don't go my way. And if you study chapter 8 of Romans, basically what this chapter, what it boils down to, chapter 8 of Romans, is that God wants us to conform ourselves to His likeness. That's what Romans chapter 8. Jesus Christ wants us to be like Him. And I think in our inner being, I think our desire is also to be more like Jesus. As a matter of fact, to be like Jesus should be one of our goals. Well, if we want to be like Jesus, here's some things that you should be aware of that could help you to realize that. Number one, we are safe in Christ. There's that hymn that says, "Safe in the arms of Jesus." Remember that? We sing it a lot. But do we believe it? Do we believe that we are safe in the arms of Jesus? And if Jesus is asking you, be like me. Take my character upon you. If He's asking you that, I could assure you 100% that in the arms of Jesus, it's a safe place to be. Number two, the highest quality of witness is demonstrated through death to self in the midst of trial and affliction. Let me read that one again. The highest quality of witness is demonstrated through death to self in the midst of trial and affliction. If everything's going well, we generally don't pray, do we? Generally. We don't pray. Everything's going well. But when you get a lump here, or you get a lump here, or you get a mole here, or you get a back, or you finances, or fit, then what do we start doing? We pray. We really start praying. Witness, your Christian, your Christianity is better demonstrated to the world when you're facing trials and afflictions and problems, and you are at peace, safe in the arms of Jesus. Now, is that easy to do? Well, no. No. First of all, because self, I don't know about yourself, but myself wants to correct everything. Myself has all the answers. Self has. Self. And sometimes self gets ahead of what the Lord wants us to do. Self gets ahead of the promises of the Lord. See, Abraham's self got ahead of him because the Lord said, I'm going to give you a son. The wife comes in and says, oh, I have a suggestion. And he says, oh, okay. Sounds good to me. Self. Here's another thing that we could do to help us to be more like Christ is that our number one agenda, our number one agenda at all times should be to build up Jesus, to glorify Jesus, and to build up His reputation. To glorify who? Jesus. And to build up whose reputation? His reputation. Sometimes we try to glorify self and build self up. Because if you build self up, you're going to feel good. Isn't that what the counselors tell you? Well, here's another equation. Build Jesus Christ up in your life and glorify Him, and your life will reflect that, and you will feel better about it. And so we try to do all these things, but here's one problem that we have, or yeah, we have for the rest of our lives, or the time that we have been living, we have always been trying to fix self up. Have you tried to fix yourself up? But the problem is that self will always be self. And you know what yourself is like, right? Only you know. Only I know what self is like. And sometimes, in the midst of trial, in tribulation, or stress, under stress, self just jumps out. Has that ever happened to you? You're talking to somebody and all of a sudden you get into the discussion and all of a sudden, wah! And you say, where did that come from? Well, self popped out. Your real self popped out. The one, you know, we try to control, the one that's in within us, and sometimes we are up here saying, oh, if I weren't a Christian, but the reality is that is who we are, isn't it? And self will always be self. I've learned something. Self does not get any better with age. They say that there are certain things that get better with age. But self is not one of them. Self, it's a dangerous thing. And the only way I see to take care of self is to put self to death. We need to put self to death, even if it means surrendering our rights. I love my country because we have rights. I've been stopped in other countries. And they take it literally when they say you have the right to remain silent. It is a scary thing to be stopped by the police in another country. I mean, it's a scary thing here, but it's worse over there. Because we have rights, but dying to self means that you are willing to give up those rights. Ellen G. White says that there are two people who most closely reflected Jesus. And I know I'm going to mention them and you're going to start thinking, I thought it was. But that's okay, too. But think about it. Or if you want to just think about it later on, don't think about it while I'm preaching. But she says the Jonathan in the Old Testament and John the Baptist in the New Testament are both of these men are ones that reflected the character of Jesus Christ the closest. And the reason, one of the reasons is that both of them had learned to die to self. They had learned to die. when self is alive in our bodies, inside, we stand ready. Believe me, we stand ready to guard it from insult. How do I know? Well, I deal with people. How do I know? I deal with myself every day. And if someone insults you, what is your first reaction? Now, I'm not talking about the reaction that you think about later as you process, as you think about it, and as you think about, oh yeah, I am a Christian, am I? Now, I was thinking, when someone insults you, what is your first reaction? What comes up here first? That is self. That is self. I could even feel self within me. I know what self does. Self, and I could feel it. Self makes my ears get red and hot. It does. I know when someone is letting me have it, so to speak, whether on the phone or in person, self and my ears start getting nice and red, and I could feel it. I don't know if some had seen the smoke coming up, but I could feel it. That is self. And especially if what they did to you, you didn't deserve. So then you have better right to be mad at them, right? You have all the rights to be angry or mad at that person because what they did, they shouldn't have done. When self is alive, we stand ready to guard it from any insult. But remember, one of the concepts that we studied 2 weeks ago is that you cannot hurt a corpse. You cannot hurt a dead body. My sister took medicine at the University of Monte Morelos. And she always invited me, but I said, I'm not going in there. Is where they brought all the bodies, donated bodies, so the students could practice. And I'm not going in there. And I know the whole thing, you know, that they don't know anything and, you know, theological. But just to go in there with all the bodies, I said, I'm not going to go in there. And never did I hear or heard or seen, you know, all the students coming out in masses screaming and yelling because they got the scalp to one of those bodies and started screaming. You cannot hurt a dead person. If self is dead within us, they cannot hurt you. Now let me get to something a little bit more practical here. A little book entitled The Key by Mrs. Nancy Missler. There are four attitudes that we need to form, four attitudes that we need to form in us, within us, on a daily basis. The first one is we need to present our bodies on a daily basis, the body as a living sacrifice. You know, there were many tribes and way back then that made living sacrifices. They went out and got the most beautiful girl and a virgin, the most beautiful one, and they offered her to their god. Well, at the beginning it was a living sacrifice, but then after that, what good is that sacrifice? And I think that's what the Bible says, a living sacrifice. Because a dead sacrifice, well, a dead sacrifice, it's dead. What do you do with a sacrifice, a dead one? And Jesus Christ, God Himself, wants us to be living sacrifices. Remember the story of the missionary that went to an island, and he had finished a series of meetings there with the ones that lived in the island. And when he was making an altar call, he was asking them to give anything, give it of themselves, and come to the altar and put those things that are enslaving them. And they started coming in, the spears and the weapons and all kinds of things that the natives were putting on the altar. And the chief, standing in the back, was taking all this in. And he started walking to the altar, to that table. He cleared everything out. And he put himself on that table. On a daily basis, we must be willing to give our bodies as a living sacrifice. Number two, on a daily basis, we need to deny ourselves, our thoughts, our emotions, and our desires. What are all those things? That's really self, isn't it? If you insult self, the emotions take over, the thoughts, the desires. On a daily basis, we must be willing to give these to God. In other words, we must be willing to die to self. Number three, we must be willing to obey God's will, doing what the Lord is asking of us. What does the Lord require of us? You know, in your own mind right now, you're processing that question. What does the Lord require of you? Does He require us to be holy like He is? Does He require us to keep the commandments like He kept? Does He require us to go out and evangelize the world? I mean, what does the Lord require of you? Obey God's will, basically. But that in itself is sometimes hard to do. We had an some meetings with the NPUC, all the pastors. I think every 5 years they used to do that. And in the afternoon, there was a missionary appeal. Someone was, you know, making an appeal for missions. And when the offering call was made, the appeal was made, I'm sitting there and I said, okay. Okay, I'll give. You know how it is, men. We take out our wallets. I don't know where you put your 20s. I don't have any 20s. I have a 1 and a 5. But you know how it is. An offering, okay. You go down your 100s, your 50s. Your 20s, and finally, oh, here's a 1. And you wait for the offering to come by, right? Well, I'm sitting there, and wouldn't you know it, the impression in my heart, it's just an impression, says, give it all. And I said, what? Give it all. And you know how you want to fight it? Oh, it's just a crazy thought I had in my head. Well, that's what I was doing. It's like the Holy Spirit, give it all. You know, you learn that sometimes you cannot fight the Holy Spirit. So I gave it all. Now that's why I only carry 2 ones and a 5. But on a daily basis, we need to be willing to do God's will. I don't know what your experience has been with people that stand with, you know, food. I will work for food, or, you know. And the Lord has sometimes impressed, give him money, buy him food, do this or do that. And self says, Lord, but he's smoking. If I give him money, he's going to go, well, I know what he's going to do. It's like, I don't care. You do what I'm asking you to do. What do you do then? We need to be willing to follow God on a daily basis. How do we learn that? Well, you learn that by having a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, and then you begin to learn what his voice sounds like. Doesn't the Bible say, the sheep will know my voice? So the more you spend time with the shepherd, the more you're going to know what his whistle is like. My mom, my dad, they have this little secret whistle that they have. They're out in the store and all of a sudden, you know, I don't remember what it is, but he does this special whistle. And my mom is, oh, where is he? I mean, that's they know. And that's the way you and I should be with God, with Jesus. When he speaks, we need to listen. Number 4. We need to take every thought captive and deal with those things that are not of faith. Take every thought captive and deal with those things that are not of faith. I asked you, have you been discouraged? Because in the life of a Christian, there are periods of discouragement. And if I were to ask you, which I'm not going to, but if I were to ask you how many of you have gone through periods of discouragement or are going through a period of discouragement, I wouldn't have been surprised if all of our hands went up. And discouragement sometimes comes from self. But in order to die to self, we must be able to surrender completely. When my brother, my sisters, and I were growing up, there were certain things that were very important to us. Equality and fairness was one of those. What do I mean by that? Well, it's simply that we popped open a can of soda and, you know, we had to share, right? So what do? Here's yours. And we're like, uh-uh. Bring that can over here, 2 glasses. And here we go. All right. Fairness, see? And the other thing that we sort of realized as we were growing up, that it was hard to surrender. When we wrestled, when we fought, you know, got him in the headlock until he said uncle type of thing. You know, your ears are busting, but you're not going to say uncle. Why? Because that meant you had to surrender. The only way to die to self is for us to be willing to surrender completely. And sometimes we're willing to surrender, but 85.9%. Or 80%. Or 90%. Or 50%. But are you willing to surrender 100%? To surrender means, or at least you might think it might mean, to surrender it might mean defeat. Back in Bible times, there are some, they would send messengers to the city and says there's 300,000 men coming on foot and another 50,000 coming on horses, and there's only 5,000 of you. Do you want to surrender? I mean, it's like, let me do the math. I think we'll surrender. What did that mean? That they came in, they took your, without fighting, they took your women, and you were basically their slaves. Thank you for doing business with you. We'll leave some of our army here. Let's go to the next one. Surrendering was kind of hard, isn't it? Just let me tell you something. Surrendering to Jesus Christ is the best thing we could do. It is the best thing we could do. To surrender our rights to Jesus. We need a full surrender. And in order to surrender, there are four things that we could do. The first one is to see it. In other words, we need to recognize our ungodly thoughts. We need to recognize our ungodly emotions. This is really a biblical way of doing things. A biblical way of dealing with our baggage. Because whether you like it or not, all of us carry certain baggage. And some may carry more suitcases than others. But we all carry something. And the first thing we need to do is to see it, to recognize it. Now, here's the problem. Sometimes we can't recognize it. Well, praise the Lord that there are godly people within the family that are willing to go and come and talk to me and say, Pastor, I need to talk with you. And they make me recognize certain things in a God-loving way. So we see it. And then we say it. You see it, you recognize it, then you say it. Confess, repent, and forgive. Confess, repent, and forgive. Confess is when you go to the Lord and ask Him for forgiveness for the things that you've done. At the end of the day, it's easier to go and get on your knees and say, Lord, forgive me for all the bad things that I've done. That is easy to say it. But you know what's harder to say? Gentlemen, you know what's harder to say? Lord, forgive me for the lustful eye I had this afternoon. When I... Or, Lord, forgive me for the way I talked about my sister this afternoon. Because I said, and when you're hearing that in your prayers, let me tell you something. If you had to do that every evening, you're not going to want to do that tomorrow. And you know, that was the whole concept also in the sacrifices. When you brought that little lamb and you held that little lamb and you got the knife and you slit the throat. I mean, do you want to come back and do that same thing tomorrow? Or the day after? Say it. It's kind of hard to hear ourselves, praying about all the bad things that we did during the day. It's easier. It's more soothing. It's easier to say, forgive me for my sins. Just wrap them up in a big little ball. Forgive me for my sins. There you go. You know which ones they are, Lord. Recognize it. See it. Say it. Confess it. Repent and forgive. Forgiveness. Let me tell you something about forgiveness. Forgiveness is not a two-way street. Reconciliation is a two-way street. But forgiveness should be something that you do because it's going to benefit you. It's going to help you. Father, forgive them, for they know what they do. Jesus Christ is forgiving them, is forgiving us. Some of us reciprocate with that forgiveness, and we come to Jesus. Others, they don't care. They don't care about the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. They don't care that God Himself sent His Son to die and to suffer for them. They don't care. They do not care. And yet forgiveness, Jesus Christ gave it to them freely. Forgiveness is what happens in the mind. We need to be willing to forgive. Forgiveness is giving up my right to hurt you for hurting me. That is what forgiveness is. I'm giving up my right to hurt you because you really hurt me. And remember, self is all about, I have the right. Step three, we see it, we say it, and then we surrender it. Again, that's the hard thing to do. Because sometimes we surrender things to the Lord this way. Carry our backpack of sins. We go to the cross. We lay it down. The Lord is asking us, bring your burdens, cast all your burdens upon me. So we do. But while we're here, we sort of tie a little string. And then when we get far enough, we just pull it. And then we go back and say, I'll take this back. How many times have you prayed for a situation and you find yourself continuing to do something about that? You know, the Bible talks about us being like little children. And if you have kids, you're still, you know, kids come and they, my son, daughter, they come to me and say, Daddy, I'm hungry. And that's all they say. They have given that burden to me. And my wife, we're hungry. and they go off and play. Do they worry about? Do they stand there in front saying, where are the noodles going to be? Are you going to make it? I mean, they don't worry about it. We need to be like children. Go to the Lord and say, Lord, here's my problem. Here's my burden. You have asked me. Here it is. Let him deal with it. But remember, self, we're fighting with self, constant self. Self wants to fix things. Self wants to get things done today. Self wants to make sure that everything is going right. Self wants things done yesterday. Surrender it to the Lord. And the fourth thing, so we see it, we say it, we surrender it. And then there's something that we do the least of. Substitute it. Substitute it. Came into your heart. The Lord cleaned it out. It's all empty now. Took those bad things away. And it's empty. You better fill it up with something. Because the Bible says those bad things, those demons will come in and go. And anybody home? Oh, look at it. It's all clean. There's more room for more of us now. If you're asking the Lord to cleanse your heart, if you're asking the Lord to search your heart and get rid of all those things that are not Christ-like, we need to fill our heart with Christ-like things, activities, reading, the things we watch, the things we hear. Because if we cleanse the heart, and Christ is not reigning inside, living inside, then someone else is at the door waiting to come in with all his friends. Substitute it. If you don't do that, it won't work. We need to substitute. If you used to watch something and you said, Lord, I don't want to watch this anymore, well, substitute it. Do something else that will uplift Jesus and glorify Jesus. We have to do that. We have to do that. Here's one thing I need to let you know. When we ask God to work in us, be prepared, because when we ask Him, He will do that. It will be a life-changing experience. He will come in and show you what self is like. And let me tell you something. When the Lord shows us what self is really like, is not a pretty picture. And sometimes we deal with that problem, we break the mirror, don't we? That took care of the problem. Ask the Lord to come into your heart and cleanse you completely, and He will change you. People that are experiencing a change in their life are finding out that there is even more of self to give over to God. When you think you've given every bit of self, then you realize, boy, there's still more self that I need to give. oh my, I thought I had given everything up, but yesterday, this and this what happened, and self came out again. Oh, I still need to do that. But that's okay. We will continue. We will continue to experience this. It is very important that we need to learn to surrender self. Let me just read two quotes and a poem, and we're done here. Christ Object's Lesson, page 154. It says, "There is nothing so offensive to God or so dangerous to the human soul as pride and self-sufficiency. Of all sins, it is the most hopeless, it is the most incurable." And page 155 says, in the same book, "Our only safety is in constant distrust of self and dependence on Christ." I found this poem titled "Dying to Self." It says, "When you are forgotten, neglected, or purposely set at naught, and you don't sting or hurt with the oversight, but your heart is happy being counted worthy to suffer for Christ, that is dying to self. When your good is evil spoken of, when your wishes are crossed, your advice disregarded, your opinion ridiculed, and you refuse to let anger rise in your heart over or even defend yourself, but take it in all patiently in loving silence, that is dying to self. When you lovingly and patiently bear any disorder, any irregularity, any annoyance, when you can stand face to face with waste, folly, extravagance, spiritual insensibility, and endure it as Jesus did, that is dying to self. When you are content with any food, an offering, any raiment, any climate, any society, any solitude, any interruption by the will of God, that is dying to self. When you never care to refer to yourself in conversation or record your own good works or itch after commendation, when you can truly love to be unknown, that is dying to self. When you can see your brother prosper and have his needs met and can honestly rejoice with him in spirit and feel no envy nor question God while your own needs are far greater and you are in desperate circumstances, that is dying to self. When you can receive correction and reproof from one of less stature than yourself and can humbly submit inwardly as well as outwardly, finding no rebellion or resentment rising up within your heart, that is dying to self. Now you see why dying to self, it's a hard thing to do. But the thing is that we don't die to self on our own. We need to ask God to help us to die to self on a daily basis. On a daily basis. The closing hymn says, "Take my life," number 330. Take my life and let it be consecrated all to thee. And then it continues saying, "Take my hands, let them move, at the impulse of your love, take my feet, take my lips, take my will, take my love. Basically, Lord, take all of me. Take control of self and let Jesus Christ live in our life. Number 330, take my life and let it be.
Please stand with us.
My heart, it is thine own. It should be thy royal throne. Let's pray. Father, we want to thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ, and for his death on that cross. And Father, this afternoon, we want to pray that your Holy Spirit may help us to die to self on a daily basis. Help us to be more like Jesus. Help us to act more like Jesus. Help us to think more like Jesus. Help us to love more like Jesus. Help us to handle problems like Jesus would handle the problems. Let Jesus live in our hearts. Take our life and do your will in them, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen.